everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. Tom, it's pretty hard for me to complain about today's weather when we're in the mid-70s around mid-January. I think it's pretty hard to beat Tucson, Arizona this time of year. Would you second that?
I second that emotion. Although, come February, we have seen it when it has gotten quite cold.
Cool. No kidding.
I wish I hadn't have said that.
Yeah, that reminds me. I think it was like the early February 2011, maybe.
We had several days of hard freeze.
Started the radio program.
Killed my lemon tree.
Yeah, we lost a lot of big cactus in the backyard. I mean, that was kind of a once in a generation type deal. It was 17, 18 degrees.
Yeah. So if it happens this year, I know who's going to get the blame about it.
I will certainly turn to you first, for sure. It is Thursday, the 13th day of January, 2022. We're now in our 12th year on the radio, and it's the start of year 34 for me on television in radio here in Tucson, well over 50 years. In the portfolio, in the communications business, in other places. The Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, the radio station 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now without further ado on the live line. Tucson City Councilwoman Nikki Lee, Democrat representing Ward Number 4. Nikki, how are you?
Hello, Bill. I'm doing very well. How are things there in the studio?
Doing pretty well. I miss having you back here in the studio. It seems like forever that I've seen you face to face. I can't believe it, Nikki. You're now 2 years into this thing. 2 years into the council position.
Yeah, it has been 2 years, and I apologize that I'm having to call in. I'm kind of like a lot of people these days, bouncing from one meeting virtually to the next meeting, and there's not a lot of wiggle room in between. So I'm grateful for your allowing me to call in so I can still connect with you today. It has been a very turbulent 2 years being in office. I joke to, not joking in a funny way, but when people say, how are things going? I say, I didn't really have dealing with the pandemic as part of my campaign platform when I ran for this office. So it's been quite a ride for the past couple of years, for sure.
You know, the pandemic started in March 2020. Things went south, and then the city of Tucson had some terrible news concerning that contaminant. It's called the acronym is PFAS. It was in the groundwater. And there was a lot of concern. We didn't want it to reach the central drinking well field located down a gradient of Davis Mountain Air Force Base. How are we doing now on protecting our water supply, Nikki Lee?
Yeah, that's a great conversation. Obviously, critically important for us here in Tucson and for everyone who is consumers of Tucson water. You know, fortunately, prior to me even coming into office, Councilmember Kozacik, I kind of see him as a resident expert in this particular area in terms of my colleagues on the council. He is very well informed about these different contaminants. And of course, our leadership within the water utility itself has done a phenomenal job of having very conservative standards for parts per million that are in, it could be parts per trillion or billion. I apologize if I have that data point wrong, but very conservative in what we are comfortable with allowing in our water supply, and have been monitoring it regularly. And, you know, I'm really happy with the partnerships that we have from the base. I met with the new base commander shortly after he came to Davis Mountain Air Force Base, and that was one of the first topics that we talked about since I represent the ward around the base. Everyone is really aligned in our shared need to make sure that the water contamination issues are addressed and that our drinking water is safe for everyone that consumes it.
And we are getting some help, aren't we, from the federal government? I know there was a Central Tucson Project groundwater treatment pilot demonstration program that was launched yesterday. That is a first step, I guess, in really mitigation for this problem, Nikki.
Yeah, the support at the state level, at the federal level, the county, the city, it has been really inspiring in a time where things can be very contentious across different levels of government. But everyone has really come together to make sure that we're addressing this. And it's just been really great partnerships and support at every level. So I'm really grateful that that's happened.
All right, let's go to our live line, 790-2040. Caller Matt has joined us. Matt, you're with Councilwoman Nikki Lee.
Yeah, first of all, thank you, Nikki, for you and the council for all the efforts you're doing during COVID. I know it's really hard to be managing a city during this time. I was fortunate to be at the PFAS dedication yesterday for the remediation efforts. And I saw that it's a pilot system that may actually be something that will lead to actually helping other communities learn how they can do remediation efforts. So it's exciting that Tucson got ahead of that. And the mayor was very, in her speech, thankful to so many efforts from so many different groups, from both the Tucson Water staff, the state ADEQ, and everything else. Real quickly, the biggest thing besides water affecting the city, I think, is two things. One, the police and economic development. Could you speak about those issues that are affecting the city now? Bye.
Okay, thank you, Matt.
Awesome. Well, yes, Matt, thank you for calling in and for being so informed and engaged on the issue with water quality. That's very exciting to know that people are out there paying attention, because it's so important. And with respect to police, you know, I'm really happy that we have Chief Kazmar at the helm. I'm great for Chief Magnus that he was able to get such a prominent position, and we have somebody leading that department that is familiar with the nature of what happens on the border. So I think we lucked out in a couple ways. And so I'm very hopeful and optimistic with Chief Kazmar's leadership of the department, because we are facing, you know, some great challenges with respect to our staffing levels. It's a difficult time to be a police officer nationwide. The salaries need to be addressed. The workload needs to be addressed. And we put a lot of demands on our police officers. So it's really important that we address the needs, mental health needs, just all of the needs that come with such a difficult job, and make sure that we have a pipeline of folks who are prepared for that type of work in our community because it's really important. And in terms of economic development, Matt, I'm not really sure what you had in mind with that regard, but some of my favorite things to do in this role, and I don't know if I've talked about it before, Bill, but if I haven't, going out and meeting the site selection folks on property where they are envisioning businesses that may want to come to Tucson. That is one of my favorite parts of this role, is just to be able to be on the ground helping to educate potential businesses on the value of coming to Tucson, creating the jobs here in Tucson, and of course, supporting the businesses that are here that have opportunities to grow, because we want them to grow and we want them to stay here. So I'm not exactly sure what you had in mind in terms of the topic, but that's how I'm really interpreting this role, is really being a champion for Tucson and trying to provide as many opportunities for our folks to have access to really great, sustainable jobs here.
People can work really anywhere now remotely, Nikki, as you know. So I think that helps a place like Tucson, Arizona. One of perhaps the silver linings of a horrible 2 years has been the fact that Tucson has emerged as a place where people want to work remotely, and they can work remotely if they've got their home office on the East Coast or West Coast. This is a very attractive place for working remotely. Your thoughts, please.
You're absolutely right. That is one thing that the pandemic has illuminated for us is how quickly organizations have adapted to working remotely. And as you all were talking before I jumped on, I heard you talking about the weather.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I could not agree more, having grown up in the Midwest where we visited family over the holidays and the snow was there for a very long time. So I think that we have a lot of appeal with respect to our wonderful weather, our ability to be outside when it's so cold. In other places of the world and enjoy our natural beauty here in Tucson is such a gift.
Yeah, and I want to put in a little plug for our interview tomorrow, Nikki Lee. The Tucson Police Chief Deputy Chief, Eric Kazmierczak, will be with us. We've had Eric on the show before. He's a terrific interview and so knowledgeable about Tucson Police. And of course, we'll be talking about the staffing shortage, the change in leadership. I think personally, it was a great move to go internal on that police chief move. And I think this was just not the time, Nikki Lee, to do a big national search when we have some really pressing issues at TPD and we have good people there in the ranks. So what do you think?
I agree wholeheartedly. You know, with like you said, the staffing challenges that we have, the increased homicide rates that we're seeing in Tucson and across the country, but disproportionately here in Tucson to the size of the city we are, we had to have somebody who could hit the ground running. And Chad clearly has been preparing for this his entire career. In seeing what he was able to do over in our 911 communication safety department, the leadership style that he has, it was not even a question for me on if we should go with Chief Kazmar. It was really obvious. I've seen him in action, and he's an outstanding person and just an incredibly talented leader. So I have all the confidence that we have the right person in that role.
All right, Nikki Lee, when we come back with you, we'll talk about transportation. That's one of the front burner issues. We talked about water, police, economic development, and certainly a big one is looming area and regional transportation. But right now, I want to talk about my favorite bakery in town. It's Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. I'm just amazed how beautiful the website. They've upgraded it. They've got beautiful pictures. Makes you really hungry when you go to monasdanishbakery.com. They've got pictures of all of their menu items and with a description of them. And there's pretty mouth-watering appeal, their mouth-watering content at Mona's Danish Bakery right now. They're open right now for lunch, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Of course, one of their standout signature tasks is breakfast. They open at 6:30 in the morning for breakfast, and you will not regret it. Find out what all the excitement about. We send so many of our listeners up to Mona's, and everybody says the same thing. I love Mona's Danish Bakery. Buckmaster Show on this Thursday continues with Tucson City Councilwoman Nikki Lee right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show Thursday edition. We continue now on the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management with the Ward 4 Councilwoman Nikki Lee. Nikki Lee and I share something in common. We are both from the land of Lincoln, Illinois, and I want to guess that you're from, we've talked about this before, is it Geneva, Illinois?
It's actually the booming city of 1,600 people of Warsaw, Illinois, right
Warsaw.
On the Mississippi River.
I knew it was the like a European capital name, so I went to Geneva, but it's Warsaw, Illinois, and you were back over the holidays. How did it look to you, the old hometown?
You know what's interesting, Bill, is that in Ward 4, there's so much growth happening, so much development happening. Everything is changing. And so I was telling my team, just going back to a place where people are still living in the same homes, their family homes, and things are the same. You know, the shingle will be crooked on the same building that I was crooked when I graduated high school. There's something interestingly comforting about that when you're surrounded by change. So I actually enjoyed being around where things were a little slower paced and not much had changed. It's an interesting shift.
How about that corner diner? Is the diner still open?
You know, that sold several, you know, long, long time ago. And there's actually someone selling insurance out of there. And if they ever want to open a kitchen, there's a kitchen there that they could make some delicious lunches in if they so choose.
Let's talk about a big issue, transportation. Is the RTA, the Regional Transportation Authority, in the city of Tucson's future, Nikki Lee?
That is definitely a big question and one that we talked about extensively on Tuesday at our council meeting. And we're up against a deadline that we set for ourselves in February to really make sure we're making a decision on the path that we need to go down, because there are timelines for ballot initiatives, and we've really got to figure out what direction we're going to go. You know, the interesting thing is that Ward 4 gets a lot of value out of an RTA. In looking at citywide, we also know that there are so many concerns, even in certain pockets of Ward 4. I've had constituents, you know, complain, and rightfully so, that they haven't had their roads touched in 30 years. And we have real needs across the city from safety. One of my personal interests is looking at smart signalization to get traffic across town faster, to neighborhood streets, and large-scale regional projects. We have so many needs, and we've got to make the decision that is going to add the most value to Tucson taxpayer. And I think that, well, I know that the mayor and all of us council members are aligned in figuring out what that is and moving forward in that direction.
So I understand at that one-hour session that the council held this week, the council is trying to determine whether it could get the money to fund its own projects without funding or participation from the RTA. Is that kind of what we're looking at here?
That is what we're looking at, that potential. So I believe that we're going to have some more data by the next council meeting to look at what, you know, potentially a quarter cent, half cent, three quarter cent, 1 cent sales tax could look like in terms of revenue generated to fund all of these needs, which are extensive across the city of Tucson, just so that we have a full picture of the data that we need to make an informed decision on the best way to go.
And this would be on the ballot, presumably, of the city of Tucson ballot sometime this year?
Sometime this year. I believe May was the time frame that we were told. We've already called a special election kind of as a placeholder in the event that we go down that route. So we're just trying to get all of the data that we need to figure out, again, what's going to be best for folks.
So the RTA holds what is turning out to be a really important meeting on January 27th. January 27th. So the city will be watching that very closely. If Tucson is not granted the proportional voting rights, then I guess you guys will go your own way. Is that kind of what it's looking like?
Well, you're definitely correct that we're going to be paying special attention to what happens at that meeting and potentially calling a special meeting after that just to get aligned and decide what it is that we're going to do. So that's a really critical decision point or meeting leading up to our decision point and how we're going to move forward. I don't know. There are various configurations of what, you know, representation might look like. So I know I'm definitely interested to see how that meeting shapes up and what comes out of it, because it's such an important decision. We have billions of dollars of needs across the city from an infrastructure perspective, and we have to be able to deliver on that.
You know, looking at Ward 4, Shirley Scott served in that seat that you have for, my goodness, so many years. I think it's like was over 20 years, wasn't it, Nikki?
24 years,
because I can remember when I first came to town with my TV show in 1988, interviewing her very early on, and she sat there on that seat for so long. And I'm wondering, how has the transition in that ward gone as far as the needs? Of course, pandemic became the number one need for everybody. But what are your need? What are your constituents telling you, Nikki Lee, that what they would like to see more of in Ward 4?
Yeah, that's a great question. And we just had a name dedication for the Sharp Recharge Project down here, renaming it after Shirley Scott. And she had some tremendous challenges coming into this office. She said that they didn't even have an actual physical ward office when she came into office all those years ago. So she moved the ward forward in so many ways. And I'm fortunate just to be able to continue moving us into the next iteration. But really the not so surprising thing about the folks in Ward 4 that we hear all the time is core services. So I'm kind of that nerd on the council that's always talking about core services, because that's what our constituents are talking about. You know, we had some hiccups last year with staffing, you know, because of COVID, with our bulk trash services, with regular trash, and people are just really focused on those day-to-day things that impact their lives: roads, public safety, parks, environmental services. So the bulk of what we get in terms of constituent requests and questions are around those core services, which is why I continue to stay very laser focused on making sure we're delivering the highest value services that we can.
The city of Tucson has been very aggressive with the vaccines. Most of the people working for the city are fully vaxxed, which is really good news. I'm just wondering if you've heard any updates about staffing issues, something that we've got to get through this Omicron in January. It's peaking, we're hearing, in lots of places of the country, which is really good news. But staffing is an issue across the country. Are you hearing anything about the city of Tucson staffing issues?
It definitely is affecting everyone, as you said, Bill. Other industries, I mean, it spares no expense on who it's going to go after. So, you know, at our council meeting on Tuesday, we did get an update from the city manager. And, you know, one of my requests of city staff was just that we can sort of anticipate the impacts that are coming. You know, we had a couple instances, one particular in my own neighborhood where trash and recycling did not get picked up on the day it was scheduled. And it was really eye-opening to hear the impacts of that. You know, you take these things for granted. They did do a robocall to let folks know that they were a day behind due to staffing issues, you know, yeah. People being out sick and whatnot. But when people, for example, for us, we're a family of five, and our trash bin is full on the day it's supposed to be picked up.
So yeah,
if
I know.
It doesn't get
I
picked
know.
Up on time. Yes, it's a big deal to people. And it, you know, what are we going to do with this extra bag right now? And those are the things that, you know, I ask that we kind of proactively anticipate and communicate out to the community. I think everyone understands what we're going through collectively.
Yeah.
But we got to be proactive.
All right. Nikki Lee, thank you very much for the time. We'll get you on again soon, hopefully. Thank you, Nikki.
Thank you, Bill. Take care, everyone.
All right. We'll take a break right here. Buckmaster on a Thursday.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
We love Green Things. We love them so much, we have named our studio here on the Buckmaster Show after them. It's the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Zocalo Village is the sister business on the 13-acre site at 3384 East River Road. And I strongly suggest if you're looking for, you know, a beautiful dining room set, How about take a look at Zocalo Village? You can go to their website, see some of the dining room sets. ZocaloVillage.com. Beautiful woods. There's mesquite in there and some just beautiful handcrafted items. Of course, the Green Things website's greenthingsaz.com. They are open daily. They are in their 51st year. And believe me, folks, if you have any gardening questions, like the one I never seem to be able to get straight, is it time to cut the roses back in January? You know, it seems counterintuitive to do it then, because we may still have, and probably will, have at least a couple more frosts. But I think early in the new year, you're supposed to cut back the roses. But the people over at Green Things would be able to answer the question very easily. All right, we are so blessed to have a great team of contributors to the program. Dr. Robert Hendricks, Associate Professor Emeritus at the University of Arizona College of Education, is our contributor on education. Former superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District, Dr. Hendricks, also a former Arizona School of the Superintendent of the Year. He's vice chair of the Interfaith Community Services, a Tucson-based organization comprised of over 120 faith communities. And Dr. Hendricks, how are you? How's the new year so far?
The new year has kicked off pretty well, Bill, and I'm pondering that question about roses because while we don't have any roses in our garden, we certainly have a lot of neighbors that do, and I'm not sure what to tell them if they were by chance asking me.
Yes, and I'm sure they might ask you when you're out doing your walk. They may say, do you know anything about when I should cut back the roses?
Yeah. And I'll tell them, check with the folks at Green Things.
Yes, that's it. How is it going over at Interfaith Community Services through the pandemic? There has just been a huge increase in folks who have food insecurity.
Well, it's a it's a complicated thing because, as people know who go to the grocery stores, a lot of empty shelves. Well, the same issues, the commodity issues that we address, giving food out to folks, we're not getting that steady supply that we're used to, particularly dairy, which is has been something that folks count on. It's not in large supply right now. Cereal is an issue. Peanut butter. A lot of the standard staple items that people count on are just in short supply. So we're hoping that our community, which has always been generous in the past, will continue to think of us if they have those supplies on hand or can get a hold of them. They're greatly appreciated.
Well, let's talk about education. We had a good conversation with Dr. Gabriel Trujillo. He spent a half an hour with us taking a deep dive into the opening of school at TUSD next week. And guess who's going to be in the classroom doing some substitute teaching? As Dr. Trujillo said, it is all hands on deck, Bob Hendricks. And Dr. Trujillo will be doing substitute teaching next week. There is a big problem right now with teacher shortages.
There is, and the absentee rates seem to be climbing, and I know a lot of teachers. I speak with them on many occasions, and they are utterly in fear of getting ill because they don't know what kind of a situation they're going to turn their classroom over to. They want to be there, but, of course, they also want to be healthy. So if they go down for the count, got to have somebody take their place. And I know that many school districts across the country have relied on the staff that is there to fill in for part of the day on a rotating basis to sort of, you know, fill that gap. But, you know, teachers are getting burned out with that. I mean, they have a expectation of time to prepare their classes and to do other things. And I know that districts, a lot of districts have been willing to pay a stipend, an additional amount, for coverage of those classes, but it's not really about money. That's not what I'm hearing from folks that are the filling in. They just, you know, they just feel like they're, you know, kind of up to their necks with responsibilities, and this is one more thing that we're putting on them. I know that the substitute pool is very shallow. It was shallow before the pandemic, and to get folks to come in that regularly substitute is a premium ask right now. We're asking parents to come in. Paraprofessionals are filling in. You know, it's the idea that, you know, we got to have a certified person in the classroom. Not hearing that so much right now. What we're talking about is we need a live body in the classroom, someone with a pulse that can keep order and keep things moving until that regular teacher can get back in the classroom. And as we know that, you know, somebody's out, it could be 5 days, it could be 10 days, and it just is a huge problem.
It is.
For large districts, small districts, everywhere. And it's not just a school problem either. I know other, you know, businesses are having the same issue with the lack of labor force.
Yeah, we're all worried about it. I mean, who's going to do the show if I come down ill? It's something we all worry about regardless of profession, Bob Hendricks. And I wanted to say that Dr. Trujillo was very transparent and said, look, we may not be able to actually put a teacher, substitute teacher, in the classroom. In that case, the students will then be sent over to the library area where there will be supervision. But he said that's a distinct possibility.
It is a possibility. And is that the caliber of education we want to provide? No, it isn't. But I think we shift then to a responsibility of safety and supervision and making sure that students, you know, are in a place where hopefully some learning can take place. But it's not an ideal. It's not. I think we all acknowledge that. And I applaud the superintendent for stepping in there and modeling for other people. And I think everybody, it's all hands on deck, and everybody has to pitch in and make this work. And hopefully, you know, if we believe some of the reports, this thing is peaking out, and we're going to see more of a flu environment, and maybe we'll be able to get people back in the classroom and get that herd immunity to get everybody back in general operation.
And that is the hope. And the modelers across the country, whether it's Johns Hopkins up in up in the Boston area, University of Washington, they're all pretty much now on the same page about the peak for Omicron. And at that peak is right about now. This time between January 12th and January 19th is when they are expecting the peak. I mean, the numbers went up like, and are still here in Arizona going up off the charts, but they will come down according to the modelers, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed, hope they're right,
yes.
will come down very rapidly. Let's pause right here. When we come back, the school behavioral issues, those issues are rising. Want to talk to Dr. Hendricks about that. But first, let's take a break. Buckmaster, back with you right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North Lock and Yada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Perhaps you made a New Year's resolution to go over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Well, Silver's calling you. High around 60 to, well, actually, be a little warmer than that. It's about 60 at the midday point over in Silver City. Their temps usually run about 10 to 15 degrees below Tucson. So if you're thinking of hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, or I've got a good one for you. How about the Cliff Dwellings National Monument? It's a stunning drive from downtown Silver City up to the monument. It's about, I don't know, about a half an hour. Beautiful drive. Perfect weather for that kind of thing. SouthwestNewMexico.org is their website. The place to go for all of your trip planning, where to stay, and what to do. Let's continue now with our education contributor, Dr. Robert Hendricks, Associate Professor Emeritus at the University of Arizona College of Education. Dr. Hendricks, we are hearing very troubling reports that school behavioral issues are increasing. And it's almost like, you know, all these airline incidents and everybody's uptight and been 2 years of the pandemic. There's a lot of road rage. Well, it seems to be now trickling down into the classrooms.
It most certainly is, Bill. And, you know, we've really focused our conversations, I think, in the past on the academic fallout, you know, which, you know, the large gap of learning that has been created by this 2 year pandemic. It's been a really rocky readjustment for students. You know, educators are seeing more and more students feeling anxious, frustrated by their schoolwork, even disoriented by what are normal routines in the school day. And they're seeing more aggressive behavior. They're also seeing shorter attention spans and shorter than usual tempers. And so these are all indications of mental health, I think, and also a direct result. There's obviously a relationship between this and sitting at home for 2 years in front of a computer screen where you really don't socially interact very much at all with anyone. And so students are adjusting to coming back into the in-person environment. And what I would characterize is experiencing, you know, social withdrawal which has to get them into really serious situations of feeling like they're not going to have that success that maybe under the normal environment, under the normal mainstream, they would have. And so we see students, you know, their education has really been upended, you know, and their routines, their schedules, their social lives. And certainly we as adults have experienced this. And so imagine it through the experience of children. Hmm. And, you know, the psychologists are telling us that we also have this group of students that are kind of on the bubble that are having lots of social and economic issues anyway. They're dealing with grief, they're dealing with mental health issues, and they're dealing with the layered effects of poverty and sometimes racism. And so we're hearing from school districts, including school districts here in Pima County, that there's been an increase in aggression. And what does that look like? Educators are saying there's more verbal and physical fights. There's more challenges to adult authority. There's more emotional outbursts. There's more social media bullying and even refusal to follow directions or school rules or students forgetting how to play cooperatively at recess. These are all indicators of issues of mental health and the fact that students have lost their sense of place, school, and, you know, educators have had to work with them to help them reinstate these routines and all of these issues that ultimately lead to a better sense of health safety for students. Let's talk about the fact that I think I was talking about a teacher expressed frustration.
Yes.
That
yes.
Students have spent so much time online that they've forgotten how to socialize. There's two specific examples that I point to where this aggression is really apparent.
Okay.
And one is the students that are what I would characterize the middle, the early high schoolers, who have lost, they've essentially lost their traditional transitional years of seventh and eighth grade, which is a major school deficit. I mean, think about it. You're a sixth grader, you're getting ready to enter junior high, and the pandemic hits.
Mm.
And so you miss that seventh grade.
Yeah.
You miss that eighth grade.
Yep.
Which is really, you know, the middle school really is kind of a rite of passage.
It was for me. I mean, now
well,
that
it
you
was for me too.
Yeah. I mean, now that you
now
think
you
about it, how would I have,
don't have that?
How would I have
you
liked to have missed my seventh and eighth grade? Are you kidding? We horrible.
Going from being a sixth grader. To the ninth grade.
Yeah.
You're going into high school and you've missed that whole junior high experience. And so that's forever lost for a child. You don't have that social experience.
When you think about these issues of that have carried over now, all this anxiety that we are going through, you see about the road rage and you know, on airplanes. And now it has carried over into our schools. And as Dr. Hendricks was pointing out, the kids are just like, you know, very disrespectful, and recess isn't even going well. So, I mean, it's a problem because all of this began in March of 2020. So we're coming up now on the 2-year anniversary of kind of what you could say is sort of 2 years lost. I know that the kids have been doing the remote learning, and a lot of people say that just has been a total disaster, the remote learning, and just has not gone very well at all. And now they're coming back to the classroom, and the kids are having all sorts of emotional issues. Let's see if we've got Dr. Hendricks back. Bob, are you back?
Yeah, I'm back. I don't know what the technical issue was, but we were talking about middle school and high school and lost period of time. But
hey,
let me also mention the kindergarten students.
Okay.
Who essentially missed the first 2 years of their schooling. You know, we know that kindergarten, first grade, they're the social building blocks. Kids learn how to play. They learn how to cooperate. They learn how to share. They learn how to communicate. And perhaps these learning skills, you know, are completely lost, you know, for a child who's, again, anticipating going into kindergarten, actually is starting school as a second grader. And what a sad set of circumstances that those formative years in school have been lost for that child. And if they're already having learning difficulties, and you combine this with the social issues that this creates, it's really, really a problem. And, you know, educators are reporting decreases in student attention span as well. I wanted to mention that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's been a lot of frustration because students have learned and now need to relearn that you need to pay attention for longer periods of time. We have always suspected with remote learning that when a student wanted to turn off mentally, they could also turn off physically.
Yeah.
They could turn off the computer screen. They could face away from it.
Yep.
They could step away from it. And so you don't have that in-person-to-person instruction.
Got
it. The instructor's right there, and they're expecting that continuous contact and that learning. And so students have to unlearn that.
All right. Dr. Robert Hendricks, thanks, Bob. We'll talk to you in February.
Okay. Take care, Bill. Bye.
All right. That'll do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Dr. Hendricks and Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show, hope everybody has a great afternoon.